Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Vanished ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
She never told me that she was leaving town. Other than that Sunday night when we did talk, she had said that she was going to tell me some stuff. Which then, that was when we were going to meet the day that she allegedly went missing. And from what I heard, the letter that her dad found, and I think even what Kyle has claimed, is that they were going to go to California, I guess, because she wanted to see the ocean. Instead, she supposedly got out of the car and went missing in St. Cloud, Minnesota, which, if you look at a map, it's really not the correct way to go if you were going to go from where we live to California. So it kind of makes no sense.
22-year-old Shanna Boiteau was last seen around 3 p.m. on June 22, 2016. She was in St. Cloud, Minnesota. Shanna and her boyfriend had driven there from Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. They said they were on their way to California because Shanna wanted to see the ocean. She left a note for her family explaining why she was taking this trip. It was on this trip to California that, according to her boyfriend, he and Shanna got into an argument while they were in St. Cloud, and he claims that Shanna got out of the car and ran into the woods. This is the last time anyone saw or heard from Shanna Boiteau. She has now been missing for 4 years, and her loved ones are desperate for answers. I'm Marissa, and from Wondery, this is episode 232 of The Vanished, Shanna Boiteau's story. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner, and it's great for my evening walks too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. By all accounts, Shanna was known to be a free spirit who was loving and caring to those close to her. For this story, we were fortunate enough to speak with Angela, Shanna's mother. Angela told us about Shanna and their family.
We have a very close family. The aunts, the uncles, the very immediate family is very, very close. Growing up, I mean, it was just a normal childhood. Mom, dad, sisters. She was good in school. She played volleyball. She played basketball. Went to basketball camps in the summer, church camps in the summer. I mean, I would think it was just a normal childhood. When I don't want to say Shanna was about 14, 15. Her dad and I separated, but we talked to the kids about it, and we made sure we lived in the same city. So that way the kids, if they wanted to go to their dads, they could go to their dads. If they wanted to come to my house, they'd come to my house. And so, you know, we tried to raise the kids together the best we could. Then the girls and I moved out of town and we moved to Chippewa Falls. And that's when some of Shanna's problems started. We noticed that there was some marijuana smoking. There were getting into, you know, hanging out with a little bit rougher crowd of people, I guess you could say. And then that's when we kind of noticed, you know, a change. We kind of noticed it before then, but then we noticed a little bit more moving into the new school and stuff.
According to her family, Shanna had a relatively normal childhood. But as she got older, she began to experience behavioral issues. She eventually found herself abusing drugs, and this caused her to spiral even further. We asked Angela what she did when they discovered that Shanna had been experimenting with drugs and how it escalated from just experimenting to using harder substances.
We sat down with her as a family, and we sat down and talked about, you know, what was going on, what the issues were, you know, the negative of smoking marijuana and how it's the gateway and, you know, things like that. That's pretty much it. You know, like I said, even though we weren't together, we still raised the kids as together. We didn't make any decisions. You know, we always talked to make sure this is what we were going to do. And then we moved out of Chigla, moved to a small town, and we still had no idea that she was using, you know, the harder drugs. She was sneaking out of the house, not doing good in school. She was going to drinking parties, and we would have to pick her up. You know, we just noticed that kind of stuff. We had no idea that she was into the harder. She got to the point where finally I noticed that some of my prescription medications were missing. And then, you know, finally confronted her about that. And she, you know, admitted that she was taking them. Then finally it came to a point where she was becoming abusive to her sisters. And so we had to make that choice to separate them. And so Shanna went to go live with her dad. And that worked out for a while. And then she started doing things over there. I think she stole her sister's car. She, you know, there's just so many things that have happened that sometimes I lose the timeline. But Shanna got into a bunch of trouble. And it was, I think she got busted with drug paraphernalia or something like that, what it was. And so she ended up, even though she was 17, she still went to jail. And that kind of saved her for a while. She was in the jail for probably about 4 months. And when she got out, she came back to live with us. And everything was good again for a while. And then she just kind of just took off on us. And we didn't know where she was for a little while. And then she came back. She went into treatment twice. Everything seemed to be, you know, going okay. Then she found out she was pregnant.
We were also able to speak with Shanna's sister, Autumn. Autumn told us more about her relationship with her sister and also more about Shanna's struggles.
So Shanna was always the super smart one. She was always there when you needed her, no matter what. She'd beat up bullies for you or whatever. We were sisters. She always had my back. I always had her back. For the most part, we got along. But then there's the older sister aspect where we didn't get along for certain reasons and whatnot. But over the years, we got closer and closer. And then she started using drugs. And that's when she started to stray away from the family and just close herself off. What she told me a couple of years before she went missing, she started smoking marijuana when she was She did it a couple times when she was 12 or 13. And around that same time, my grandpa passed away. No, she was 15, sorry. I was 10 when my grandpa passed away and she was 15. And that's when she started using marijuana. Well, nobody really knew about it in the family. And then once it got stronger and stronger, her addiction got worse and worse. Well, we kind of just figured it out. She came home one night and she was just, she puked all over herself, and that's when we found out that she was doing drugs because she ended up going to jail that night for domestic with my mother. We cleaned out her room and whatnot, and we found meth pipes and all kinds of other stuff, and we asked her about it, and she admitted to it.
Shanna had been in a long-term relationship with a man named Stefan, and the two eventually had a child together. Angela told us more about Shanna and Stefan's relationship.
They were good for each other because they kept each other grounded, but they were kind of like oil and water. They fought and they argued. They both did drugs, but she kept him at least out of trouble. They still did drugs together, but he wouldn't run around or be missing for a few days or whatever. She kind of kept him on the level, and then vice versa, him with her, because they were so jealous. If she talked to another guy, he got mad and jealous and vice versa. So when they were together, they were always together. And at least we knew that they were together and we would be able to find them. They were together for on and off for like 2.5 years.
When Shanna discovered she was pregnant, she did her best to stay out of trouble. Eventually, she wound up in jail again, and her mother credits this as another life-saving event.
She got into some more trouble, and so she went back to jail. We really feel that kind of saved her life there again, too, and the babies, because she was incarcerated. She had, in January, they let her out of jail and on an ankle bracelet to live with her dad. She didn't use for about a year, year and a half, somewhere in there.
While Shanna's relationship with Stefan, the father of her child, didn't last, she moved on and began turning her life around. Even though Shanna and Stefan were no longer together, their breakup was amicable and they continued to co-parent their daughter together.
She was working at assisted living for developmentally disabled people, caregiver. Shanna was very helpful and very, like, she liked helping. You know, she was one of those, she had a very kind heart. Like, she would always, you know, she always was wanting to help people. Instead of helping herself, she was just always worried about other people. So that was, like, the perfect job for her. She'd worked there a couple times, like a year, year and a half, off and on. She'd leave for a while, but she was such a good worker and always on time and always there picking up extra shifts and stuff. So I know that they hired her back. She got her own apartment. She got a decent job, got a car. She was very active in the NA and the AA, starting to build a life for herself. She had a boyfriend, Kyle. And we didn't know this till after the fact, but there was a lot of abuse going on and we had no idea. I knew Shanna was working a lot of hours, and when she was gone or when she was working, Millie was going to her dad's house, or the dad, Stefan.
We also spoke to Shanna's dad, Bud. When Shanna was released from jail, she went to live with Bud and her stepmother. Bud told us that he has fond memories of this time with Shanna.
It was great. Me and her finally got a chance to connect. We had drifted apart when her mother and I separated and eventually got divorced, kind of brought our relationship back around to where it once was. And in all honesty, it was probably the best 2 years that I ever had with her. She had the ankle monitor on for the first 30 days after she had Emiliana. After the first 30 days, she went to a 45-day drug treatment facility. After that, she come back to live with us and then started working, bought herself a car. We never charged her rent or nothing. She lived with us. But then it was a year and a half or so after that was when my wife and I decided to put our house up for sale and buy a house out in the country. And at which time Shanna felt she was doing better in life and wanted to move out on her own. And looking back on it, I think that was probably the stress of moving out on her own, probably what set her back. Trying to be an adult and trying to raise a baby, and stress got to her. And then being in a not-so-healthy relationship on and off with Kyle.
By 2016, Shanna seemed to be getting her life back on track. She was holding down a job, had her own apartment, and was following the guidelines of her probation. However, just days before she disappeared, Shanna made the decision to drink one night and got caught. The police had shown up and given Shanna a breathalyzer test, which she failed. This violated the terms of her probation. Due to this violation, she would have to spend some time in jail. When we spoke to Shanna's dad, Bud, he told us more about this.
What happened was that they had surprised her with a breathalyzer test at home one night. They just said that Shanna had told them that she had the baby at home and the baby was sleeping, so they just reported it. They just told her that they were going to report it to her PO. They weren't going to take her in tonight, but just to not drink the rest of the night. She was on no drugs, no alcohol. We call it a no drink. Just for failing that breathalyzer, she had admitted to something that had happened, that she went from stage 3 of drug court to stage 2 of drug court. She got bumped back one. I think it was because she had been drinking again. Or she told them that she confessed up to it. Or something happened. And she was afraid that since this was her second time, that they were going to revoke her probation.
Angela was able to provide more information about the drug court program that Shanna was in.
The drug court program is designed for people with felonies that have repeat offenses. So what they do is, let's say you have four charges. What they do is they put those charges on hold. And then what you do is you go through this drug court, and it's a very intense outpatient treatment program. So there's three stages. You have to complete each stage, obviously, to get it to the next. And it generally lasts like a year, year and a half. If you would relapse, then you get knocked down to the phase that you were down to the next phase. Well, Shanna had relapsed several times and didn't show up to PO appointments or had a dirty UA or, you know, whatever it is that she had. I mean, because she was of age, so we weren't kept in the loop. We just know from what she would tell us. But because she had screwed up so many times, they try to practice like a three strike program. Okay, so three strikes, you're revoked out of the program, and then the charges that were pending are now going to be prosecuted towards you. If you graduate the program, then those charges disappear. They're gone. She was told that one more screw up, they were going to revoke her from the program and revoke her from probation. And then she was looking at whatever her sentence was. And I want to say that it was like her probation was like 5 years. So then she would be sitting for 5 years. And I'm not for sure on the time, you know, the time that she was. Like I said, because she's of age, we weren't kept in the loop.
Sunday, June 19th, 2016 was Father's Day, and Shanna did visit with her father that day. Bud told us what he observed.
She come over, she visited, we had supper. Everything seemed good. No sign that anything that she was thinking about taking off. And then I think the next day she did. Or was it 2 days later?
Autumn walked us through the timeline of events leading up to Shanna disappearing.
My niece's father was also on probation at the time. We call them like the Bonnie and Clyde relationship. They were always in trouble, but they were always there for each other kind of thing. Even if they weren't together, they were still like really good friends. They were caught drinking together one day. So she thought she was going to be going to prison. And so she went to work one day, and Stefan is my niece's father. Stefan was watching Emiliana, which is my niece, and Shanna was supposed to pick Emiliana up after she got done with work, and she didn't show up. Well, then Stefan's mom called my dad and was like, hey, Shanna was supposed to come pick Emiliana up, and she's not here. Could you see if she overslept or something like that? Because she worked the night shift.
When Bud got the call on June 21st that no one could get a hold of Shanna, he was slightly concerned. Unfortunately, he wasn't in town at the time, so he called a family member to go check on Shanna.
Nobody could get a hold of Shanna. She was supposed to come pick her baby up. Nobody could get a hold of her. So I called my brother. My brother called. He wasn't in town, but he called my cousin. And she went over there, and that's when she found the note.
Autumn told us more about the note that Shanna left behind.
There was a note on her kitchen table, and it said, sorry, I fucked up. I got caught drinking. I have to go somewhere. I have to go. And then it was scribbled out. And then it said, somewhere. I love you all. And I love Emiliana. I want what's best for her. And like, it was just a letter like that, just telling us that she was leaving. And she said she'd be back. Well, that was June 21st, which was kind of weird because I was just talking to her, I think earlier that day or the day before, about 4th of July and stuff like that. So my parents were kind of worrying, and they were calling and texting me and trying to see if I've gotten a hold of her. And they didn't tell me anything about what happened until like the next day. So then she actually went with her boyfriend at the time. His name's Kyle. And they were on the highway, Highway 94, and they were in Chippewa, and then went to Menominee and stayed the night in Menominee. Then the next day they went to St. Cloud, and that's when she was last seen.
When We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished. After Shanna disappeared, they tried to retrace her movements over the last several days. Angela believes that her mother was the last family member to see Shanna.
That Sunday or Monday, she had called my mom, and she borrowed a suitcase from my mom. My mom has this big, giant suitcase. And she told my mom that she wanted to borrow it because she was going to go to Wausau for the weekend with some friends. To some sober friends, because it was going to be her birthday. But because she was of legal age and she was going to have the, you know, the desire to drink. So she was going to go for a weekend with some girl, different girls, sober girls that had little kids, and they were going to go over to Wausau somewhere. So my mom let her borrow the suitcase. Monday was when I had texted her because I hadn't heard from her. Then she had texted back that it wasn't a really good, she didn't have a good weekend. And that she would talk to me later, but she never did. On the 21st was when I got the phone call from my ex-husband and said that Shanna had not went to pick up Millie, our granddaughter, and that he was having someone go over to her apartment because maybe she had overslept because she was, you know, had worked the weekend. And then we got the phone call that said that all of her stuff was missing out of her house and she was gone. Car was gone. Everything was gone. Her personal things, like not the furniture or anything, but like her, like she was packing to go away, clothes, makeup, things like that, taking things to go on a vacation. She had left her phone, but she had taken majority of her clothes, shoes, toiletry items, that kind of stuff. Like she was just going to be gone for a while. I was mad because the note that she had left had said she was going to be gone for a while. You know, it said that she would be back. It said about the breathalyzer that she had, you know, tested positive and she needed to spend some time, but she would be back. So I was more mad that she left, you know, just being irresponsible.
Shanna's dad also felt like Shanna was being irresponsible and was more frustrated than worried. They never expected her to disappear forever.
Basically, the only thing really missing was her clothes. She left the food in the cupboard, the food in the refrigerator, basically just clothes. And when we got her car back, all her clothes were in the trunk along with just her hair dryer and stuff like that. Didn't really think anything was really wrong. Was more upset that she just decided because she had wrote us a note explaining kind of what was going on, you know, so we were just kind of more thinking that, oh, this is great, now what'd she do? We'll find out in a few days when she gets back, I guess, type deal. She left her phone there, deleted all her messages and everything out of her phone.
When Shanna left to allegedly go to California to see the ocean, from her letter, it sounds like she assumed that her probation violation was going to lead to a lengthy stint in jail. However, it later came to light that she would have only had to spend a few nights in jail for the minor infraction, and then she would have been released back to probation. Perhaps if she knew this, she would not have left with her boyfriend that day. When Shanna's family found the note and realized that Shanna had left, they weren't sure where to begin looking for her, and the fact that she had left her phone behind only made things more difficult. On Wednesday, July 22, 2016, they finally got some information, but it wasn't from Shanna. It was from her boyfriend, Kyle.
I got a phone call about 3:45, and I remember it was about that time because I just got home from work. And my ex-husband had called me and said that Kyle had called him, frantic, that him and Shanna had gotten into a fight and that she had taken off into this wooded area, jumped out of a car and took off into this wooded area. Kyle didn't know what to do. So he had Bud's phone number in his phone, so he called Bud. And Bud had told me that he was on his way there to St. Cloud to see what was going on and check out the situation, and that he would keep me informed on what was going on. So I just waited. And then it was later that evening. I don't even remember what time it was, but I know it was later that night. He had called and said that they could not find her.
Bud drove out and met Kyle in the area where he said Shanna had run into the woods. Bud told us what Kyle said to him that day.
He never came out specifically and said she was using again. He just said she was acting crazy. He didn't know what was going on. Made him pull over later on in the story when I got there, and he said exactly what happened. Apparently, they had left a travel center, driving around back country roads. She saw a cop and got paranoid that he called the cops and was going to turn her in, set up an ambush. And he tried to tell her no, it wasn't happening. She made him pull over. She got out once with her purse, walked into the woods, did some stuff, came back without her purse. He asked where the purse was, and she started screaming at him, don't worry about it, just get going, just go, go, go. And so he started driving again, and then she kept up a paranoid attitude. He tried to tell her he didn't call no cops or nothing like that, and then she made him pull over again, and she took off and ran into the woods. I saw him that day. His reaction when I got there and the way he acted, he broke down in my arms, bawling, seemed genuine. My initial gut feeling when I got there was he's telling the truth.
After Shanna was reported missing and the police began investigating the case, they tracked down surveillance video from an ATM where Kyle and Shanna had withdrawn money on the 22nd. They were able to see Shanna on the footage to confirm that she was alive and well earlier on the day of her disappearance, around 10:30 a.m. They were at a travel center around 45 minutes away from where Kyle says Shanna later ran into the woods, about 4.5 hours after she was seen on surveillance. One mystery that has remained was why it took them 4.5 hours to get from the travel center to where she ran into the woods, when it was only a 45-minute trip. What were they doing during all of that time?
According to him, they were just driving around, not knowing where they were going, backcountry roads, trying to find their way. That was kind of one of always my biggest questions was, what did you do for 4.5 hours to go 45 minutes? But apparently that whatever answer he gave satisfied the cops and whatnot.
While authorities did respond to the scene where Kyle said Shanna ran off, her family got the feeling that they weren't interested in searching for her. Here's Angela.
From what I remember was that there was stuff said that the police really didn't really care, that they were just doing the bare minimum because the area that she had taken off at, and we didn't know, I mean, we had no idea. I mean, I've never been to St. Cloud in my life, was that the area that she had went into was a known area where there's known drug use, meth houses and different things like that. And that pretty much they had just, because of her criminal history, had just figured that it was another drug addict out using.
Bud remembers having to push to get the area searched by dogs.
Yeah, the St. Cloud Police Department wouldn't have done a canine search if I wouldn't have insisted on it, and I actually called the canine people for them. Otherwise, I don't think a canine search would ever got done within a week after she went missing, so I took the initiative to get that ball rolling.
After Shanna disappeared, they became aware that someone else had been with them for a period of time after they left Chippewa Falls on the 21st, the day before Shanna went missing. Shanna's friend Amy, who also has a history of substance abuse, left with them that day.
She worked with Shanna at that group home, and I'm not 100% for sure, but I want to say that is how Shanna got the job, was through Amy. My understanding was one of the reasons that, and maybe I'm just putting this together, was one of the reasons that they waited till that Tuesday to leave was because they got paid. And Amy had brought Shanna her paycheck. And this is just things that I have heard through the grapevine, is that Amy needed some drugs and needed a ride to Eau Claire. So Amy brought Shanna her paycheck. They gave Amy a ride to Eau Claire, and I don't know if they scored any drugs or not. And then from there, they left, but Amy stayed in Eau Claire. I just think Amy was a drug friend. I think that's, I don't know very much about her. All I do know is that we had told the cops several times that Amy was involved and that she was with them and she would know stuff. And there, what they kept saying to us was, we can't find her. We don't know where she is. Well, after a few months, I just started doing some investigating on my own and found out that she was right in the Chippewa County Jail. She was right. I mean, she was there. There's no reason they didn't know where she was because she was in jail. They could have went and questioned her right away. And they didn't question her till after a year later. They didn't tell us anything. My mother goes into the jails and does like Christian classes for AODA. And Amy wouldn't, when she seen my mom there, she just turned around and didn't say anything. She just walked away, decided not to take the class.
Another clue that came to light was found on the back of one of Shanna's pay stubs. It was contact information for one of Shanna's ex-boyfriends, Sage, who was living in California at the time of her disappearance. If Shanna did plan on going to California, was she planning on contacting Sage once she got there?
Sage was a boyfriend that Shanna had right after she had had Millie, or shortly after that. And Sage, he just couldn't handle all of the issues that Shanna had, so they broke up. But they did keep in, you know, moderate contact. But Kyle was so possessive of Shanna that she, you know, she never really mentioned his name or anything like that. But they, so I'm assuming that they kept kind of in contact like a secret. Sage does live in California, or he did. He doesn't anymore, but he did. And his name and phone number is actually written on the back of Shanna's pay stub, his number and Amy's number. You know, because she didn't take her phone with her, my guess is that his phone number was written on the back of her check, because that was actually in her car. I have talked to Sage, and he had no clue that she was on her way there.
They also learned that after they dropped Amy off in Eau Claire on the 21st, Kyle and Shanna spent the night in a motel in Menominee, Wisconsin, before heading up to St. Cloud, Minnesota the following day. The timeline in this case can be a bit confusing, because a lot went on over a period of several days, and her family didn't have all of the information when they realized she was missing. What we do know happened was that during Father's Day weekend of 2016, Shanna was given a breathalyzer test and failed. This seems to be the catalyst for everything that happened after. She saw her dad on Sunday, which was Father's Day. The following day, she went to work. The next day, June 21st, she left with Kyle and Amy and took Amy to Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Shanna and Kyle then went and stayed in a motel in Menominee, Wisconsin. The next morning, they headed to Minnesota where they were seen on surveillance at a travel center, taking money out of an ATM around 10:30 a.m. in Rogers, Minnesota. 4.5 hours later, Kyle says Shanna was paranoid and ran off into the woods while they were in St. Cloud. After that, there's no trace of Shanna. Earlier, Bud mentioned that Kyle claims they were just driving around for those 4.5 hours. Angela has her own theory as to what they were doing during this time.
Reports that we have been given is Kyle states that they were just driving around, that they were on the highway, either a cop passed them or they had come upon a police officer or something. And then he says that she made him pull off the highway and get on these back roads. And then he also stated that they got lost and didn't know how to get back onto the highway. I think that they were waiting for a drug deal. I think that they had scored drugs in Menominee that night because they stayed in the night in a hotel in Menominee. I feel that that's why they stayed the night there. They had to wait for the pickup. And then I also feel that that's why they had to wait for the deal to happen. And that is why. Because Shanna is not very book smart, but she's very street smart. But my daughter also knows, because we've traveled, is that you don't go to, you know, he keeps saying that they were headed to California. You do not go to California by going to St. Cloud first. And she, if she was on the run, which she knew she was leaving, she would leave the state. She wouldn't stay the night a half an hour away from home. So that's what I think. I think that's what happened.
We asked Angela to explain the search efforts for Shanna. To those close to Shanna, it seemed as though the police weren't taking it as seriously as they should have at first.
The day that she went missing, the St. Cloud police did not want to bring the dog out. They did end up finally bringing the dog out the next day. It searched around the car, and it only went maybe, I think he said, like 500 yards out, and then the dog just stopped. Didn't go across the fence. It didn't go, because this was along Highway 94. The police just keep telling us that she jumped the fence and got on the highway. Well, if that's true, then why didn't the dog go to the fence? None of us were there. They wouldn't let us be there. It went along the fence, but not over the fence, you know, like the fences that go along your major highways. And also in that area where she went missing, she was apparently barefooted. She had on leggings and a tank top. When we searched through that area, we had to throw our clothes away because of stick tights and pickers and all kinds of stuff. So there should have been blood, or the dog, you know, if she would have jumped the fence and went over, I'm not an expert on that, but I would think that the dogs would follow to the fence and try to go over the fence, which they did not. They didn't. The dog just stopped.
Bud told us more about the continued search efforts over the years since Shanna has been missing.
I think we've organized 4 or 5 different searches now, along with a flyer campaign. The first weekend that we did the search, we had over 100 people, broke into groups of 4 or 5 different groups, went out and searched different areas. There was a middle section that was really wet that you couldn't get to. That's the only section that still to this day is so kind of a marsh. Still can't really get into it. But we did a search that day. At the end of that day, the search team felt that there was a couple areas. We didn't get it all done. And there was a couple areas that we had done that was really thick that they wanted to go through it at a different direction. We stayed overnight. We searched again on Sunday, kind of got what we wanted to cover. But then a couple weeks later, we went and did another one just to try to hit areas again that we couldn't get into. And then we went back the following spring.
Bud mentioned to us that during their searches of the area where Kyle says Shanna took off running, they did find some bones, but all of the bones ended up being animal bones. There were some possible sightings of Shanna, but her family told us they were all either ruled out or unable to be confirmed. One came from a woman in the area who reported seeing a young woman being followed by a Prius. This lead was a dead end.
It was not her. It was another person. I mean, there have been like people think it's her. So we investigate, find out, and then it's not her. The only thing I know of is there was a neighbor that said that they had seen Shanna run into the woods. But if you look at where she ran into the woods and where the neighbor was raking their grass, there is no possible way that they could have seen it. They would have seen the car, and they maybe would have seen two people arguing outside the car, but there's no way that they would have seen it because it's just kind of like on a slanted incline, you know, over a overpass. And then where she ran down was, you can't see. I think it was just a neighbor, a nosy neighbor, because that neighborhood is primarily older people. And so I think it was just someone seeing a bunch of police activity and wanted to be part of it or find out what was going on. So they just said whatever they needed to say.
Without any substantial leads or evidence pointing in a new direction, they all kept coming back to Kyle. Did he know more than he was letting on? The pair did not have a healthy relationship. Kyle was known to physically abuse Shanna on numerous occasions, and he also abused drugs. His story when it comes to what occurred on the day of Shanna's disappearance was shaky at best. We asked Shanna's sister Autumn if she could tell us more about Kyle.
She's had charges against him when we had to take her to the ER because she fell down the stairs and broke something. And there's other things. I believe she had a court hearing with him the following week after she went missing that she was supposed to go to against Kyle. And obviously she never showed up. So the case got dropped.
Kyle told Shanna's family and authorities that she ran into the woods after they had gotten into an argument. However, some of Shanna's family members don't believe that this happened, as he says.
We know she didn't run into the woods. We've done searches with the police department. We actually connected with a missing persons group. They help a lot of people that go missing in the Wisconsin, Minnesota area. So yeah, we've done searches in the area and there's nothing that came up, like absolutely nothing. He said that she dropped her purse in the woods and that's why there was no purse. We've scanned it and nothing, not even a shoe or a purse or anything was found of hers. According to what I know and what I've been told, that they did search the vehicle and her bags and like her suitcase that she had was still in there. A pack of cigarettes and a cigarette that were all hers that were still in there. But other than that, according to what Kyle has said, is she ran into the woods with her flip-flops, a tank top, which she had on, and her pants and her purse. And when she came out the first time, she did not have shoes or her purse. And then the second time, because she ran into the woods twice, I guess, the second time she didn't come out. That's what he's been sticking to, but it doesn't seem like it's not something Shanna would do.
Despite Shanna's complicated life and struggles, this does not negate the fact that she was still loved by her friends and family. We wanted to get to know Shanna on a different level, outside of her family relationships. We thought it was important to speak with someone who knew Shanna during her recovery. We were lucky enough to speak with Angel, one of Shanna's close friends. Angel told us how she and Shanna met.
Shanna and I both we were both in recovery. We met at Ellie Phillips, which is our detox and residential treatment facility here in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. And we hit it off and we became fast best friends, great friends, you know. We did a lot of things together and I started watching her daughter for her when she would work and she had her boyfriend, Kyle. They both were living at her dad's house.
For Angel, things didn't seem to add up when it came to Kyle's story. And even the timeline of events seemed very off to her.
The detective told me, I don't remember what town it is, but it's about 45 minutes away from St. Cloud, Minnesota. 4 hours before Kyle called 911. In fact, I'm pretty sure Kyle called her dad before he even called 911. But it was a 45-minute drive. They were seen on camera at an ATM. So that's a 45-minute drive, but it was a whole 4 hours or roughly 4 hours
from the time they saw him on the ATM to the time that he called 911 of her going missing. What happened in those hours? Another part that I think about is, so say he did do something that, because that's truly what I feel. Say he did something to her, not meaning to, but it happened. That's a whole 4 hours. He could have taken her anywhere and then went to this spot to say that's where she left, you know. And we went and searched that 80 or however many acres it was. We went and searched it, and there was nothing there. He could say it was St. Cloud when it could have been right here in Chippewa. Because even if that would have happened over there, like near where the ATM was, say it happened shortly after that, he still would have had time to come close to home here and go all the way back by the time he called 911. She never told me that she was leaving town. From what I heard, the letter that her dad found, and I think even what Kyle has claimed, is that they were going to go to California, I guess, because she wanted to see the ocean before she went to jail because of the drinking that weekend or whatever. Instead, she supposedly got out of the car and went missing in St. Cloud, Minnesota, which, if you look at a map, it's really not the correct way to go if you were going to go from where we live to California. So it kind of makes no sense.
Angel was able to provide us with more details about Shanna and Kyle's relationship.
Kyle and Shanna, her daughter Emiliana, moved to Chippewa. And after they moved there, it was very shortly after that, that Kyle started to lay his hands on her. The first time that it happened, it was a Sunday evening. I can't remember the exact date, but it was in June. And I was just finishing up at a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. And she called me frantically in regards to him choking her and such. And so I drove over there as quickly as I could. And when I got there, I could hear them arguing. I could hear him threaten her. He threatened me. I could hear him threaten me to her if I were to come in the house. So what I did was I called 911. The Chippewa Falls Police Department showed up, and what they ended up doing was taking Kyle to jail. There was a no contact, obviously, through the police department and such. And Shanna, we talked about it. I'm a bit older than Shanna, so I have had a little bit more life experience with that type of thing. So we would talk about it, and I was really trying to help her get focused on not going back to that because, you know, it just doesn't ever work out well. So then all of a sudden, the next thing I knew, he was at her back at the apartment. And she said, well, I'm just going to try again, you know. And within a couple weeks, I guess if we looked at the police reports, it would show the two times that I called as far as how far apart they were. But that time, I was actually up north, 2.5 hours away, when I got the call that time about him laying his hands on her. And so I called the police department from there. And so then shortly after that, she ended up going back to him. And at this point, she was kind of trying to like hide it, I think, you know, like from me a little bit, because she started to kind of like isolate some. And well, it was only a few days. And I called her and I said, you know, we need to talk. What's going on? I miss you. And that was on a Sunday evening, June 22nd, I believe was a Tuesday that year, 2016. And that Sunday, she actually contacted me and she was freaking out. Apparently, she had drank. I think it was the day before, she had said, and the cops showed up at her house, but they didn't arrest her. And so when she called me Sunday, she was freaking out thinking that the police were going to come to her apartment and arrest her for that. She had asked me if she could come and stay at my house. I really wish that I would have told her she could. But what I ended up telling her was that I said, you're more than welcome to come, but if the police show up here, I am not going to lie for you. And so I'm pretty sure that's what shut her down from coming to my house. The 22nd, we were supposed to get together. We talked the 21st, and then she wasn't home on the 22nd. I went over there, couldn't get a hold of her. Kind of like all of a sudden she went missing. That Friday, which was her birthday, all of a sudden I got a call from her phone number, and then I was answered, and it was her dad. And that was when I found out for sure that like she was missing. I ended up going to the police department, trying to file a missing persons report. The cops really didn't want to listen to me until I talked about the times of Kyle going to jail and the no contact and things like that. Then they wanted to listen. And so I went back with them and they recorded. And that was pretty much it with the police department.
been trying to find her ever since.
Angela told us how it came to light to Shanna's family that Kyle was not a good man and had frequently abused Shanna.
After Shanna went missing and more people came forward, we had found and looked up that Kyle had 3 domestic abuse charges against Shanna. We didn't know about it, you know, until people had brought it up about different things that they had went to their apartment to stop fights or different things like that. And then I looked him up on the court system, and then that's when I seen that those charges were there. But the court dates weren't till July. Kyle was very jealous of any male friends that Shanna had. He was very jealous of Millie's dad, Stefan. He was just a very negative, violent person that, you know, like I said, we didn't know anything about it.
Those domestic charges were pretty serious. I mean, we never seen any bruising on Shanna, but there was times that we would go, like, she would talk to us like every other day. But there'd be times where it might be, you know, a week and a half or so because of work schedules that we might not see her. A couple people that had actually witnessed him smash her phone and choke her, you know, they made reports, but nothing was ever done. If the prosecuting person doesn't show up, then the charges are dismissed.
And this is our biggest thing, is that those charges were there. He helped Shanna, a felon, go over state lines. And afterwards, we found out that the police had asked him if he had any family or anything like that in that area. And he said no. But after our own kind of investigations, he does have family up in that area. So we don't know, if you're going to go to California, you're sure in the world not going to go to St. Cloud to get there. You're going to go a different way. Like I said, just different investigations on our own. We've just found a lot of different things. Like they stayed the night in a city called Menominee that's only 25 minutes away from Chippewa. Well, if you're trying to get out of town or out of the state, you're sure the world not going to stay the night in a town in a hotel 25 minutes away. I guess our reasoning is that they probably picked up drugs and we're going to get rid of them up in St. Paul. That would be my guess, for some money, to have extra money. There also is a big human trafficking ring between Menominee and St. Paul, St. Cloud. So was that something that was going on? We don't know. We can only speculate that. And then the story about that he gave, that her running out of the car, and there's just so many different versions of what he said had happened that day. An example was, we do have a video camera on tape of those two in a convenience store in a little town. And the video camera shows at the time was like 10:30 when they were there. They were buying some things, going to the ATM machine. And Kyle didn't call Shanna's dad until 3:30 that afternoon to say that she was missing. When he was questioned what they were doing, he just said they were driving around. If you're planning on getting out of town, you're not going to drive around. There was something else going on. Kyle, we had asked for Kyle to have a lie detector test right away, and that didn't happen. But we've also been told, I work in the drug, I'm an AODA, and so I hear a lot of things from my different clients and things like that about Kyle and different things that he's been doing and saying. But of course, again, that's all hearsay, so that's not he's not admitting that he did anything, but he's feeling the guilt, the shame. He has never contacted any of us, tried to be involved in any of the searches or help or call to ask how anybody's doing. Nothing. We've heard nothing.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
You aren't sleeping and you're stressed out. That's how it was for me, so I cleared out my cabinet and reset my health with CBD from CB Distillery. Their deep sleep gummies are amazing. CB Distillery's targeted formulations are made from the highest quality clean ingredients. No fluff, no fillers, just pure, effective CBD solutions designed to help support your health. In two non-clinical surveys, 81% of customers experienced more calm, 80% said CBD helped with pain after physical activity, and an impressive 90% said they slept better with CBD. If you struggle with a health concern and haven't found relief, make the change to CB Distillery. And with over 2 million customers and a solid 100% money-back guarantee, CB Distillery is a source to trust. I have a 20% discount to get you started. Visit cbdistillery.com and use code VANISHED for 20% off. That's cbdistillery.com, code VANISHED. cbdistillery.com. We were also able to talk with one of the investigators working on Shanna's case. Here's Investigator Drew Zeem.
Well, I'm Investigator Drew Zeem. I've been in law enforcement for about 6 years now. I'm third generation law enforcement, actually, for this agency. So it's kind of in my blood and been working here ever since and love every day.
Investigator Zeem told us about Shanna's violation of probation.
Shanna was on probation through the state of Wisconsin, or is on probation through the state of Wisconsin, and has multiple conditions, including the not to consume any drugs or alcohol. We had information that Shanna was using alcohol fairly frequently at the time. And about a week prior, an investigator had requested that we have Shanna submit to a preliminary breath test because of the tip that she had been consuming alcohol. That breath test was positive. She wasn't overly intoxicated at the time. It was a minor reading, and that investigator had referred charges for the violation of the no drink.
Shanna's case is a little bit more complex because it involves two different police departments in different states. Investigator Zeem told us more about how Shanna came to be reported missing.
It was reported to us by a friend on the 25th of June of 2016 that Shanna had been reported missing already to the St. Cloud Police Department in Minnesota. We were also contacted by the St. Cloud Police Department and requested to assist and coordinate with the investigation, as Shanna was from our jurisdiction but was reported missing in their jurisdiction. A lot of it depends on the circumstances surrounding the missing adult. If we believe there's foul play involved, there's going to be different strategies and tactics that we have to use. In a typical missing person case, a missing person adult, someone that similar to this situation that appears to want to have left, you know, we would list that person as missing until we felt like there was other circumstances that needed to change the status, such as an endangered person. As far as in our jurisdiction, we were requested by the St. Cloud Police Department to assist with searching her vehicle. At the time, Shanna's boyfriend, Kyle, had already returned to our area, because St. Cloud is about 2 to 3 hours away from here. So we were requested to obtain her vehicle from Kyle, and then a search was conducted of the vehicle. We also looked through her apartment just to verify that there was no information that led us to believe there was foul play at her apartment prior to her leaving our jurisdiction. So when Shanna left I believe it was her father, Bud, that had found a note that was in her handwriting indicating that she had left Chippewa Falls voluntarily. After she left, we were able to track her to a hotel in Menominee, which is 20 to 25 minutes away from here, the first night that she left. From there, there was also a ATM transaction that occurred at a truck stop in Rogers, Minnesota. And I know that the St. Cloud Police Department was able to follow up and get video surveillance of that. And in that video surveillance, Shanna and her boyfriend Kyle are seen together in Rogers, Minnesota, about, I would say, 3 to 4 hours prior to her actually being reported missing to the St. Cloud Police Department. At this point, the circumstances behind her disappearance are so difficult to say if there's been any foul play or if it's a voluntary disappearance with an accidental or anything like that. It's real hard to have a person of interest truly identified in situations like this. The person who was last seen with the missing is typically a person of interest. We just want it known that she's still missing. Her family is still hoping for her safe return. And the family has a reward that was initially put out for any information that led to her discovery. And we just want to do everything we can to help the family find closure and get that peace of mind.
Angel told us about a frightening call that she received that she thought could have been Shanna.
September 22nd of 2017, I think it was. So it was the 22nd day, just like when she went missing the 22nd day. It was really crazy. We ended up finding out that it wasn't, because I did contact the detective. But I got a phone call that was blocked, and it was a girl crying. And I could hear a bunch of noise in the background, and all of a sudden we got cut off. And so I called the police department here in Chippewa because I wanted them to know, because my first thought was, oh my God, is it Shanna trying to reach out? They got my phone records or whatever. I guess they didn't find like who it actually was or whatever. But what they did say is that it was pinging or whatever off of towers right here in our town. So they chalked it up as it was nothing.
While speaking with Angela, we asked her what she thinks happened to her daughter.
I'm not an expert. I'm not anything. This is just what I think happened. Is I think they picked up a third person. I think it was a drug deal. I think it went bad. Obviously, she was in that area because the dog picked her up. But I think that she took off running, and I think the two of them did something to her, brought her back, and emptied her body in one of the swamps around that area. That area where she went missing, just not the St. Cloud. But there's just so many little swamps, so it's just, it's a very desolate little neighborhood. Every year in October, right before hunting, we do a flyer campaign up there. We pass out flyers, and we pass out her picture, the clothes that she was wearing, and how to, you know, what to look for when you're walking through the woods, what a bone would look like. And if you would find anything like that, you know, who to report it to. The first year we did that, we're the immediate family. They had us do the houses that were closest to where she went missing. So we got to really know and talk to a lot of the people that have been in that community for a very long time. And then actually in that community, Stearns County, in a 10-mile radius from where Shanna went missing, since the 50s, there had been 5 unsolved murders, mysteries, in that same exact area. A lot of the locals and stuff had said that, you know, the joke is if you want to bury or get rid of a dead body, you get rid of it in Stearns County. Actually, 3 other missing persons in that same area. You know, there's just so many things and so many scenarios that go on. I guess my biggest thing that I'm worried about is how the police, where we live, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, and also the St. Cloud police, just looked at this as another druggy case.
We also asked Angel what she thinks happened to Shanna the day she went missing.
So what I really truly think happened, because Kyle threatened her and I heard him threaten her, I feel like he did something to her, maybe not intentionally. I really do. That's definitely what I've thought since she first went missing. I would say that he's a bad person, yes, because I absolutely hate him for the way that he treated my friend. But in the same token, I also know what drugs can do. I wish that he would be honest with what really happened and either help us find her, you know, just bring her home.
While many believe that Kyle was somehow involved in Shanna's disappearance, Bud doesn't believe that Kyle harmed his daughter.
Do I think Kyle had anything to do with her disappearance? I honestly don't. They've questioned him 4 or 5 times now, the Chippewa Falls PD has. He's always answered their questions, all the questions, even the smallest of details that if you were making it up when you first told it, he was remembering exactly, right? He passed the polygraph test. His story from the time he's told it hasn't wavered. When I went over and met Kyle that day, after he called me, I was on a business trip with my boss at the time, and I took him back to town, and then I headed right over to St. Cloud, and I met him. He was still standing on the side of the road where she ran in. About half a block away, a cop was sitting there too, and I stopped and talked to the cop, and it had just got done raining, and he said if she was still in there, the rain would probably drive her out onto the road. He was sitting there watching for her too, so even when I first talked to him that night, I got the impression he was telling me the truth.
After Shanna went missing, her family wanted to help with Shanna's daughter. Fortunately, they were able to work out a guardianship agreement with Shanna's former partner, so that Emiliana is now in the care of Shanna's parents.
Shanna was involved in a system called drug court, which means that every week she had to report to a judge to show like she was going to AA and they have things for her to do. Okay, so the drug court judge also is the family judge here where we live. Because we are in a small community, the judge knew our situation, everything that was going on. So when we went there, what we had to do is we had to have Stefan, the biological father, he signed a paper saying that he said that it was okay that we had guardianship because he was in jail himself for drugs. And then we went to the judge and requested a joint guardianship, and they granted it to us.
It's been more than 4 years since Shanna was last seen. And for her father, he still goes over all the bits of evidence they have, trying to find a clue that may have been overlooked.
I spent a lot of time poring over the details and analyzing and overanalyzing myself and my actions and what I could have done more of, what I didn't do enough of. I kind of driven myself crazy. I think if she was able to come home, she would. I think if she's alive, she's being held. Or she got sex trafficked and out of the area, or she's just loved and missed. I think about her every day. That's the worst part of it is the not knowing. If I knew one way or another, I could move forward instead of running in circles. It's an open case in both departments, but I don't think they're actively... I mean, there ain't been any leads. There's nothing to go on. It's like dead. Hard to believe in this day and age with technology anywhere that somebody can just up and disappear. And I understand it. They're doing the best that they can do to their limited capabilities, you know. Everybody's stressed and everybody's overworked and not enough resources to go around and got to prioritize your cases, you know, but yeah, it's just frustrating.
Even though Shanna had a rough past with her addiction and run-ins with the law, her family wants everyone to remember that she was more than her mistakes. She was a mother, daughter, sister, and friend.
As the one cop up there told my brother I went up there the day she went missing. I got home at like 6:30 in the morning. My two brothers went back over there that day. I was so exhausted I slept, didn't go with them, but they went over there and started looking, and one of the cops pulled up and was wondering what they were doing because they were knocking on people's doors or whatever, and the cop asked them what they were doing, and he told them, and the cop looked right at him and said, well, it's just a druggie. She'll come out when she needs another fix. It's that attitude. It doesn't matter. Yeah, she was a drug addict, but she's also she's my daughter, you know. You know, we've done a few podcasts now, and it seems like the emphasis on the podcasts are her drug history, how long she's been on drugs, how abusive she was when she was on drugs, how she ran away from the law. And the opinion we're getting from it is, you know, we've had people comment on, well, she's not really missing. She's just running from the law. She's in hiding. yeah, in a legal sense, but she's missing. This isn't like her. She's not running from the law anymore. She would have come home. This ain't her. You know, it's just frustrating when you hear all the podcasts, and it's just, you listen to them for an hour long and 45 minutes of it is recounting her drug history and how much trouble she was in. And I understand you got to mention that as background, you know, but also mention that for a year and a half since she had her daughter, she had straightened her life out. You know, she had a job. She was supporting herself. Yeah, she got in trouble. She drank when she wasn't supposed to drink. But she passed all her drug tests. She wasn't on meth anymore.
So what happened to Shanna Boiteau on June 22nd, 2016? We know that she had gotten in trouble for drinking while on probation, but she wasn't facing a significant time in jail over this violation. However, it seems as though she wasn't aware of that. Did she really plan on going to California with her boyfriend? Or was that just a story? She had borrowed a suitcase from her grandmother and mentioned taking a trip with her daughter and some girlfriends. But what changed? Why did she leave without her daughter? Why were Shanna and Kyle in St. Cloud, Minnesota, where she allegedly ran into the woods after an argument with her boyfriend? St. Cloud is not the most direct route to take to get to California from Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Their known movements that day don't really suggest a trip to California. It seemed as though they had some reason to be in the St. Cloud area. Was Shanna so upset over the fact that she made the bad choice to drink and feeling as though she let everyone down that she decided to leave? Could she be out there somewhere alive, too afraid to come back and face everyone and the law? Could she have gone this long without having some kind of contact with the police? Did she really get out of the car and run that day? Did her boyfriend catch up to her and harm her? Could she have gotten a ride with a random stranger who caused her harm? Or did something else happen to Shanna? We know Kyle was abusive. Could this story of her running in St. Cloud be a red herring? To have everyone looking for her there when she's really somewhere else? It's now been more than 4 years since Shanna disappeared. And without anything new coming up, her family is desperate for someone to come forward with information to help solve her case. At the time of her disappearance, Shanna was about 5'7" tall and weighed approximately 135 pounds. She has brown eyes and hair and multiple tattoos. She has the name Millie tattooed behind her ear, as well as two sparrows on her hip. She also has her lip, navel, and ears pierced. At the time of her disappearance, Shanna was wearing a tan Victoria's Secret tank top and black leggings. If anyone has information regarding the whereabouts of Shanna Boiteau, please call the Chippewa Falls Police Department at 715-723-4424. You can follow Shanna's case on Facebook at Help Find Shanna Boiteau.
Shanna was so loving and caring. She was a free spirit. She just loved life. She was just an amazing friend. She was a great mom. I was so proud of her for being clean. This is really hard for me because I think about her every day and I miss her so much. And I can't imagine what her family's going through. My heart, my gut tells me I know that he did it. I would put my life on it. Again, I don't know that he maybe did it not on purpose. I think maybe he got mad at her because he said they were arguing. Maybe they got into an argument and he did whatever to her and didn't mean to.
That brings us to the end of episode 232. I'd like to thank everyone who spoke with us for this story. If you have a missing loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. If you'd like to join in on the discussion, there's a page and discussion group on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at thevanishedpod and also on Instagram. If you enjoy this show, subscribe now and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. Do you want to help support the show? There are a couple things that you can do. One way to help The Vanished is by supporting our sponsors. You can find links and promo codes in the episode notes. Another way to support the show is by contributing on Patreon, where you can get early and ad-free episodes. Join me next time. I'll be covering a case from Michigan. Thanks for listening.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.